Hi, everyone. You're listening to Mary Reads Scripture, a production of the Ephesus School Network. I'm Mary, and today I'll be reading, and you'll be hearing from the book of Romans. Let's begin, as we always will, by hearing Scripture. Today's reading is from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Welcome back. On last week's episode, we ended with an observation that might be challenging to some of my listeners. We heard that God's righteousness was revealed and is being witnessed to by the Torah and the prophets, and his righteousness is now through faith which belongs to Jesus Christ, ispantas tus pisavontas, which penetrates or has union with all those believing. The challenging part is that there is no through faith in Jesus Christ in this Greek passage of the Romans text. It is Jesus Christ's faith which penetrates all those believing. The only time we actually see the word in Christ Jesus in this particular passage is in verse 24, where we hear, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, en Christo Isu. En literally means inside or within. So the redemption is within or inside Christ Jesus. In verse 26, we again have in Jesus in the English translation, which says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The Greek word is actually not in, but out, ek pisteos isu. Properly, ek is defined as out from and to, in the sense of going from the interior outwards. So as we can see here, the English text is directionally challenged. So in the Romans text, we are not invited in. The faith belongs to Jesus Christ, the redemption is within him, and those God justifies come out of Jesus' faith and go to him. This is important to note because each individual text in Scripture is its own self-contained text. Because they are put together in a canon, we like to mash them all together and assume that all the text, quote-unquote, mean the same things. This is often the misguided attempt of theology. A great example of this is the famous verse, John 3:16, which often gets used as the slogan for Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this case, it is being communicated that believers should believe in the Son. More specifically, that belief should penetrate or have union with him. Pistevon ist avton. Notice here that the preposition is not en, as in within him, but is, as in our Romans passage where Jesus Christ's faith penetrates or has union with all those believing, ispantas tus pistevontas. When translators render these different Greek words as the same English word, we lose the sense of what is actually being communicated by these two texts. In one case, Jesus' faith goes out and believers come out of it, and in the other, believers go in and have union with him. Since in our Romans text, Jesus Christ's faith goes into those who are believing, it penetrates Jews and Greeks alike. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they can only be justified freely by his grace. The first thing I want to point out about verse 24 is that the word justified is in both the middle and the passive voice in the Greek text. In the middle voice, God is both performing the action of justification and receiving the action of justification. In other words, God is freely justifying those who fall short of the glory of God, but they can't claim to have received the justification. They can't claim to be justified. God is receiving his own justification. Specifically, it is Christ Jesus who receives this justification. We see this because Christ Jesus, Christo, Isu, is in the dative case, which means he is the object that receives the action of the verb. In this case, he receives the action of being justified. Justification is also freely given. This word in the Greek text is the adverb dorean, and is defined as a free gift that is given without payment in return. In other words, justification cannot be earned, but is a result of God's grace, and it is given on account of the redemption in the Christ Jesus, dia tis apalitroseos tis en Christo Isu. Redemption, or apalitroseos, is defined literally as to buy back or repurchase what was previously lost. That buyback, or redemption, is within Christ Jesus, as we talked about in the beginning. Verses 25 through 26 of the Romans text go on to say, "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." In these verses, I would like to observe the Greek word translated as propitiation in the English text. This word in the Greek text is hilasterion, and is used to mean a sin offering through which the wrath of the deity is appeased, otherwise known as the mercy seat, and is translated as such in Hebrews. I am sure many of my listeners will equate this to atonement theology, that God sacrificed his only son as an atonement for the sins of mankind, which brings us back to John 3:16. It's important to note that the word propitiation is not used in the text of John 3:16. In fact, in the Greek text, this word and its various forms are only used 6 times, predominantly in Hebrews. The only time it is used in proximity to the words, the Son of God, is in Matthew 16:22, in the form of the word hileos. In the Matthew text, Simon Peter declares Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's hear verses 13 through 16 of the text. "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he questioned his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' Jesus asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Huios tou theou tou zontos. In verses 21 and 23, Peter rebukes Jesus, essentially declaring that he won't become a propitiation. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Far be it from you, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you. Hileos si kyrie umi este si tuto." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So while this word, hilasterion, doesn't function in relation to the words, the Son of God, in our Romans text, it does function in relation to them in the Matthew text. One of the biggest critiques of atonement theology is that many people find it abhorrent that God would quote-unquote sacrifice his only son. We know now that these words don't specifically show up in our Romans passage, but we can point out some important ways in which God is functioning here in this text. First, as we've been discussing through our observations of the use of the middle voice, God is both performing and receiving the action in the Romans text. If a propitiation is a sin offering that functions to appease the wrath of the deity, then God is functioning to appease his own wrath. This seems far more preferable than the idea of man having to appease God's wrath, and we know from Scripture that he is wrathful. If we do broaden out our textual understanding to the Matthew text, then the free gift belongs to God. It is his son. As the saying goes, God isn't, quote, being generous with other people's property, end quote. He is being generous with what belongs to him. It is his grace, his blood, his forbearance, and his righteousness. For those who reject the free gift, I recommend being grateful that God hasn't decided to come along and be generous with the things that belong to you. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week for a new episode of Mary Reads Scripture. Bye!